Everything's running smoothly.
Yo, what is going on? My name is Hartzell. This is your KC Morning Show. Happy Tuesday, my friends. A wonderful Tuesday to you. Well, today on the show, I'll be honest with you, I woke up and had nothing to give you. Just woke up with not a lick of content. But you know what? I remembered, this is Kansas City, y'all. This is Kansas City. All I got to do is make a couple phone calls. We'll find somebody with a story to tell. It's Kansas City. And we found some folks, found some friends, actually. Joining us on your KC Morning Show, Rob Schamberger. He is the artist in residence for WWE. That's right. Yeah. Like World Wrestling Entertainment. It's the dopest job in the world. I'm jealous. My man gets to grapple with a paintbrush, and I love it, and it's awesome. His wife, Katie, she hosts the Downtown Dish podcast, which we will definitely have Katie on the show as well here very, very soon. After that, we got my man, Carter Augustine, sporting Kansas City's very own Carter Augustine. He's a sideline reporter, broadcaster, jack of all trades for Sporting KC. He's going to get his preview for the matchup tomorrow. Children's Mercy Park, Sporting taking on Orlando. Details are at sportingkc.com. If you have some time, if you got one more click left in you, do me a solid. Go to thepitchkc.com. Vote for the KC Morning Show podcast. We're nominated for Best Local Pod. So if you would do that, we already love you, but then we will love you forever and ever. Then we will just solidify the love. Let's do that. Thepitchkc.com. My name is Hartzell. Full show back in your feeds tomorrow. But right now, Rob Schamberger, followed by Carter Augustine. This is your KC Morning Show. One of the coolest guys I know, the artist in residence for WWE. That's got to be the coolest business card to get made, right?
I'm partial to it. Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, if you're going to like Office Max, man, and you're getting those things made, they have to take a look at it, and they've got to do a double take, right? Because I would.
I've been doing this with WWE long enough that just like an ordinary life stuff, people will be like, wait, you're the guy. Like my cats, they're total alphas, and I broke the litter scoop. So I went to the pet store down the street to get a replacement, and the guy's like, I'm a big fan of your art. And I'm like, okay, where are your scoopers at?
First things first, where are the scoopers, sir? But also thank you. That's got to be cool, man, because Rob, your work is, and I'm going to say it, it's iconic. Like you take professional wrestlers and you make it just really feel something cool. Like it feels like something that should be at the White House. And I'm looking at, you know, I don't know, Ric Flair.
Yeah. Like, especially with the wrestling stuff, no one had ever done this before me. So I'm getting to really experiment and push things creatively, which as an artist, as a creative person, that's what you want. And WWE has been just tremendously awesome to work with. Like, I don't have sketch approval. I don't get notes for revisions. I just make the thing and then we figure out what to do with it. Kind of the best deal in the art world somehow I managed to negotiate.
This guy, who's your agent? I need your guy.
It's me.
Your story is incredible. Your work is fantastic, but I mean, you got to just break it down for me, because this is nuts. You're an artist that works in pro wrestling. Like, your day job is pro wrestling. That is awesome. I'm jealous of you. How did we get here?
For a long time, I was trying to figure out a way to stand out as an artist. And so I was trying to find a way to make what I was making stand out. And those are to be the first at something, the best, or completely different. And I was looking around and I realized no one was doing fine art of pro wrestling, because it's pro wrestling. But I love wrestling. Obviously, I love art. And it struck me, like, there's got to be other people like this out there, that, you know, this Venn diagram where there's this overlap. And it turned out to be a, you know, pretty wide overlap. So I did a Kickstarter. This was 7-8 years ago. And it did really well, like, quit my day job well. And within about a year, WWE brought me under their umbrella. And really, it was a matter of Triple H especially liked what I do and just wanted to give me a bigger platform to do it.
I'm hearing you explain this, and it makes perfect sense to me now. Like, of course, there's a there between, you know, wrestling and art, but what do you say to someone who, you know, looks at that on paper and they just don't quite get it?
Well, pro wrestling is an art form. It's storytelling. It's fictional entertainment. So it's an art form in and of itself. And because of that, it's a natural fit to go to something else that tries to portray that world as well. I think it really fits. And something that I make people really mad when I say, probably because it's true, because there's this wrestling bias that society has for whatever reason, earned or not. But when you start viewing pro wrestling as an art form, as a storytelling art form, that means Vince McMahon, who has been writing this story every week since 1974. And you look at the global juggernaut that WWE especially is now, that makes Vince the most prolific and most successful artist in human history. And boy, it makes people mad when you point that out. But I think by the numbers, that's very true. And so also when you take that viewpoint, what I do is a very natural extension of what they're doing.
Do you feel like you're actually a part of that universe? You know, they always talk about the WWE universe, but do you feel like maybe you're actually contributing to it? I mean, honestly, Rob, you're a very important part of this whole machine.
I mean, I've been on TV. Kevin Owens has destroyed one of my paintings.
I saw that one. That's right.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be in one of those encyclopedias in the future. And I've got a weekly show I do on their YouTube channel called Canvas to Canvas. That is now the longest running original show on their YouTube channel, over 320 episodes, I think, now. And it pushes me because they push so hard themselves. Pre-pandemic, you know, I was backstage about once a month and working with the talent, working with, you know, all the people behind the scenes, and looking at how hard they push themselves just to meet a standard of quality. It very, you know, quickly dawned on me, I need to be working at least that hard just to fit in, you know, and to produce something that's of the quality level that their viewership expects.
How are you holding up doing all of this? I mean, you still got to, you know, produce that artwork, you know, you still got to try to find a way to be creative during all of this nonsense. How are you holding up, man?
Like, as far as work goes, I've been able to maintain a constant continuity of service, I guess you would say. It hasn't really affected my business much, you know, because I'm not on the road as much. I'm spending more time in my studio, and my studio is the room next to my living room. The mental health part, I'm working on. Luckily, I'd had a really intense year of therapy that my last session was right before the lockdown started, like the week before.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, so I have a lot of tools that are helping me out a lot. My wife and I are both very transparent about mental health. She's still in therapy herself, so we're able to have kind of frank, deep discussions that help out a lot. We've been together long enough now, too, that we have that kind of relationship. So on that level, you know, it's day to day. Some days are better than others.
How do you find the time? Because I'm hearing all this and I'm just, man, there almost doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day for everything that you need to do. How do you make this work?
A lot of balance. Also with art, a lot of it comes out is a way for me to get a lot of that energy out of myself and put it down on paper. So I do feel that over the past couple of years, I've been doing some of the best work of my career. A recent one I did of the Raw Women's Champion Asuka is the best thing I've ever made, and it'll be hard for me to top it for a while.
It's pretty perfect, man. I'll be honest with you. It's thank you. Actually perfect.
I leveled up a big time on that, and I'm kind of painting myself into a corner there of trying to figure out how to do something of that level again.
So what's next, Rob? What can we look forward to? I know Asuka is maybe the best right now, but I know you got a whole lot more in store for us. So, yeah, what can we look forward to? Because I'm excited for you, brother.
More art, definitely. Also, every October, I do a thing where I do a new piece of art every day of a certain theme that has nothing to do with wrestling. Kind of a annual palate cleanser for me. This year is going to be Trektober, all Star Trek stuff. I've never done any Star Trek art, so that's pretty fun.
Just do one Star Wars thing for me. That's all I ask. Get the Star Trek out of the way now, and then all I need for you is just one or two Star Wars pieces, and I'm good to go.
There we go. And then also I've been doing monthly charity pieces. That has been awesome. Started that around the time that the Black Lives Matter movement really took the forefront, and looking at a lot of ways that I can use my platform to help others, you know, learning a lot more about equity versus equality, and doing my part on that. So I've been doing the monthly charity pieces that we auction off, and then all the proceeds go to a local charity, different one each month, that helps out the Black community. That kind of thing, I think, especially right now, but at any time, is important to do. And the way that my audience has been really getting into that has been awesome. We've raised several thousand dollars.
Oh, man, that's great. That is awesome, Rob. How can people get a hold of you? Let's just get these handles out of the way now, because that's incredible, man. Yeah, how can people reach out?
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram is at Rob Schamberger, and robschamberger.com is my website where you can see all the stuff. And also WWE Shop, WWE Auction, to go buy some art. You can get shirts with my art on it. And Canvas to Canvas on WWE's YouTube channel. And one of my personal favorite things that I do every week is I do a free weekly email newsletter. You can get that at robschamberger.com/newsletter. I treat it more like a letter that I write, you know, to the person reading it. It's, you know, written like from me to you, the person looking at this on your screen. It goes out every Sunday morning. I really love it. And it's the best way out of everything to see all that I'm doing in there.
Rob, it's just so good to hear from you. And tell Katie I want to get her on the show as well, because she's got a podcast that we want to talk about.
Yeah, Downtown Dish, man. She's doing great things. It's, we've developed a little media empire here in Brookside.
Well, let me ride some coattails at the empire in Brookside. Let me get on that bandwagon.
Yeah, man, come along with us.
Rob Schamberger, artist in residence for WWE. That's right, World Wrestling Entertainment, the coolest job in the world. Rob, we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
Going straight to one place, right to Kansas City.
The KC Morning Show.
My man, my brother, Carter Augustine, Fox Sports Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City broadcaster. The credentials go on and on. He deserves the longest of intros, but right now he's joining us on your KC Morning Show. What's going on, brother?
What's up, my man? I'm just excited to be here, excited to get the call up. And I can't thank you enough.
We came up a little bit together at Sporting, because I started in 2013 or 2014. You started a little bit before me, yeah?
Yeah, 2012. So yeah, we've been through it, man.
But I feel like I've seen you in some capacity behind the scenes, in front of a mic, behind a camera. You've been doing everything, man.
It's been a journey. I've been grinding. You know, I started as an intern. And one of the first things I did was go pick up Sporting KC team from the airport, and a young rookie, Don Dwyer, was featured in the van that I took back from the airport. So,
oh, wow.
From everything from, you know, stuff like that to I wore the blue mascot costume once back in the day. Done a bunch of graphics, and it's been a hodgepodge of different jobs, that's for sure.
It's the story, you know, just the story of the broadcaster in 2020, man. Like, you wear all the hats, you have to learn how to do everything, and you just be ready for the call-up, pretty much, right?
Yeah, the backpack journalist, you know, that's what we try and call it. I know backpack rap got a little bad reputation back in the day, but I was actually a fan of it. So, you know, I'll take that over to the journalism world now. You know, as well, you're out there. In 2020, you got to have all different types of angles you can come at something, right?
Do you like doing the whole get to know the guys, like those profile things that you do, like, you know, walking down the street of whatever city they're in? That just feels like the natural progression. You know, athletes now, we can talk to them on our phones. It's less of a pedestal, more of like, these are the friends that we've always had. These are just the homies we're kicking it with. Do you enjoy doing features and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do enjoy. I think it's really challenging. So I enjoy that aspect of it. Interviewing is something that I don't think I was very good at for sure when I started, and just trying to get better and better at it every single time. For me, it's pretty difficult. And I look out there and there's people that are so good at it, and it seems to come so naturally for them. You know, for me, the main thing I love is calling games, and that's what I'm trying to get to. But a big part of that is, you have to be able to interview people. And one thing I'll say is that just the guys with Sporting KC are very easy to talk to. And so it makes it a lot easier. I enjoy it when I'm able to get something from them that maybe they hadn't told anyone before. So just getting to know the guys a little bit better, certainly it is enjoyable for sure.
We got a game tomorrow, Carter, taking on Orlando City.
Yep. SKC Orlando, you know, the classic Kansas City Orlando rivalry that everyone knows about.
We got a rare Wednesday game. You got to love the midweek special. So what can we see tomorrow, Carter?
With COVID and everything going on, they've done more of a regional schedule. So we're playing Minnesota 1,000 times, FC Dallas 1,000 times, Houston, Colorado. Isn't it going to be nice to just see something different?
Absolutely. A different color. Is that purple? Oh, my God.
And actually, Orlando, who has been, ever since they come in the league, they've been one of the biggest disappointments. You can't really argue with that. And this year, it's their best start in their MLS history. They brought in a new manager this past offseason, Oscar Pereja, who was with FC Dallas for some years, and he did battle with Sporting Kansas City over the years when he was with Dallas many a times. And you look at their team, and they've got Nani on one side. He's a world famous player, played with Manchester United for years and years. Portuguese international, played a ton of games for Portugal over his career. So he comes over and has all the fanfare. And so for this season, he's actually been living up to it. A lot of the big name players come over, and it's kind of a vacation for him, but it hasn't really been for him. He's on one side. Then they've got a kid, Chris Mueller, who, you know, completely different path, comes through college at Wisconsin, and kind of an unheralded guy. And all of a sudden, he's turned into an absolute monster. And he's getting looks with the U.S. national team now. There's a stat, Hartzell, where it's goals plus assists per 90. And he's at the top of that list in the entire league if you take out penalty kicks. So, they've got two monsters on their wings. Sporting really likes what they have in attack. And we heard today that Alan Pulido should be back and involved in this game in some capacity.
He might not start, but let's go.
I figured you might be happy to hear that. Alan Pulido set to make his return.
Alan the Hair Pulido, my man's got perfect flow. We need that back on the pitch. I've been saying that since he's been gone.
You and everyone else, man. Have you seen the hair he's got now with the platinum blonde going on?
No. Those are frosted tips. All right, it's just a different way to arrange it. But at the end of the day, those are frosted tips, and we need to call it as such. Those are frosted tips. I love them. But let's call it what it is.
Have you ever thought about going with the platinum, or should I say frosted tips?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Cisco did it best. And when I saw that Cisco can make it work, I knew there was a there. It's got legs.
At that point, it's timeless, right? It's been, 20 years since the Thong Song?
I'll tell you right now, if we end up pulling one of these cups home this season, we're going to pull out some silver frosted tips, right? I will get these things so metallic, they'll be frozen off. That's how frosted these tips will be, Carter.
Wow.
That's right.
That's a promise. If Sporting brings home the cup, you're going platinum tips.
On the record, you heard it right here, your KC Morning Show.
Wow.
Take that to the bank. Now, put that in the goal and kick it.
That's the new phrase, man. That's got to be the new phrase. I'm definitely telling the entire team that now, you know, they have something to play for. It's not the glory. It's not the having a championship. It's not, bonuses or, going down in history.
Nope.
No, It's getting Hartzell, getting those tips frosty. I know you talked to former mayor Mr. Sly James, and he knows a thing or two about staying frosty.
It works.
That's right.
Carter Augustine, Fox Sports Kansas City broadcaster for Sporting KC. You will hear him. You will see him tomorrow. Sporting taking on Orlando City. Quick prediction, Carter. What do you got? I'm putting you on the spot.
Hoping for and expecting a response from Sporting Kansas City. For the majority of this last game against Dallas, they played pretty well. They just had some bad mistakes that led to the goals. And so cut those out. I think it's going to be difficult for Orlando to travel. It's something they haven't been doing a lot this season. So they've got an away game. Sporting's got to use that to their advantage. Hartzell, I will say, it's been nice having fans in the stands, right?
The atmosphere is absolutely still there, 100%.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's been pretty loud considering the limited capacity. And several of the players have mentioned it to me, saying, you know, when we're in there, yeah, it's not as loud, but it's like you said, it's surprisingly loud for the number of people that are in there, and they really feel it. One thing I will predict is I think this game is going to be a beauty of a watch. I think it's going to be back and forth. The teams have so much attacking talent and like to score goals that I really think we're in for a treat when it comes to the game itself. So then it comes down to who takes their chances. You know, maybe if the return of Alan Pulido, that might maybe up the guys in terms of their confidence, and having him out on the pitch, if he does make it into the game, would be such a huge boost. So I'm expecting Sporting to come out firing.
Carter Augustine, my brother, thank you for coming on this show, and this is the first of many more times.
Yes, man. Let's do it.
That Frosted Tips, we got to keep an update going.
We'll keep the update going. Frosted Tip Watch. And I'm looking forward to seeing that hair at the end of the year.
Carter Augustine, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow, brother.
See you tomorrow, man.
Your style is unorthodox, but effective.
The KC Morning Show.